Good evening, this is Rabbi Mayevsky, and this week's Parshas Korach, another series in the Parshas that are very difficult and bring a change of attitude in Moshe. And what I mean by that, I entitled the shiur tonight, Where We Draw the Line. My father always, when he gave me instructions when I was much younger, when I was starting to do some teaching, private lessons and various things, and he always said, this is how far you could bend, this is where we draw the line. And Moshe, up to this point in time, after all of these things, we have one tzara after another. We have Bahaloscha, the Mesonanim, we had Shalach, the Meraglim. Of course, we had in Kisitsa, the Maisa Egel, which was a year before. Seemingly, things were quiet for a while. But nevertheless, we're in year number two, and this is after the Meraglim were destined to die, Itama with Shom Yamusu, to die out in the Midbar. And Korach rears his desire to be a leader. He has been granted the idea. Moshe tries to say to him, you are one of the people who are carrying the Aron. You are B'nai Kohos. How much more, Rav Lochem B'nai Levi, aren't you satisfied with the Gedula that you have? But he's canvassing the people, and he feels that at this juncture in the time frame is that after all the people have been, I mean, if we think back in reality, Korach was on the side of Moshe when the Egel happened. It was, B'nai Levi, and he came to Moshe's side, and with the Meraglim, he wasn't involved with the Meraglim and various things, and he got the Kahuna. He should have been very happy. But when Aaron is now, of course, Aaron has been supplanted the Kohanim as the Kohen Levi. Aaron has been appointed already for a while now, and he hasn't said anything till now. Why did he wait up to this point in time? Well, we always think that somebody likes to choose the right time to strike while the iron is hot. And the reality is over here in last week's parasha, we find that the B'nai Yisrael, since they were destined at this juncture to die in the Midbar, he felt that the dissatisfaction with Moshe would be at its peak at this point in time. The people had just been given a death sentence, and therefore this was a good time to challenge Moshe and all the things and to claim that Moshe was making it up as he went along. And these are all the things, but what he didn't realize is that up to this point in time, we find after the Egel, Moshe prays to God, and in last week's, but to save B'nai Israel, they didn't mean it, and only the 3,000 people who were involved in the Egel pass away are the ones who were killed, and none of the other people were involved, but that was because it was the Erev Rav who instigated it. The Meraglim in last week's parsha was another story. These were all Jews. These were the Nesi'ei Edor, Kriyei Moed Anshei Shem, that we said last week's parsha as well. These were leaders who people looked after, and therefore they destined the whole people, but not to die outright. And Moshe once again prays for them, and he says, Slachno lavono alma kugodel chazdecha v'chasherno sosalom azeh mimitzrayim yedheno, and all these things that we say in Yom Kippur, please forgive them, push it aside. And God says, Vayomer Hashem solachti kidvarecha, I'll do exactly as you wish, but they will not go into the land of Israel because they don't appreciate it. Now the major change in Moshe is, after these situation arises, Moshe is basically throwing his hands in the air, and the saddest pasuk in the whole Torah to me is Vayishma Moshe Vayipol Al Panav. He had nothing to say. After Korach and Adosan Vavira made their complaint, and the way they spoke to him in a mob scene, and the way they complained, especially after the Maisa Meraglim, you would think that they would cool their heels and basically understand that Moshe is in charge and he's only pushing the word of God, and everything that he says is Mipi Agvura. And now they challenge him once again, that he's making it up as he goes along, that he pointed Aaron and he pointed all the people that had the B'nai Aaron. They didn't give him a second look. And Vayishma Moshe, when Moshe hears these challenges and this rebuke from Korach, Vayipol Moshe Al Ponov, he fell down on his face because he lost all hope at this point in time. And what's more, the end of the line is that instead of praying for them, he prays to God for something He says they have to die. Imagine Moshe saying that these people have to die, and not only do they have to die, but they have to die in a very unusual way. The ground has to swallow them up. You have to create something new so that they could no longer be eligible to have any communication with the living. And what I mean by that is, we mentioned in the past, the ground opening up and swallowing up the 250 people from Korach, it's more than just killing them. We know that there is some sort of communication with the souls of the dear departed when we go to the cemetery, or even when we pray to our forefathers. We ask for Zchus Avos that they should intercede for us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a relationship. But when Korach was swallowed up, when it says Vayovdu Mitoch HaKohol, means they were totally, even in their death, they were Vayovdu Mitoch HaKohol, they were totally excommunicated in this life and in the next life. And there would be no way to communicate. They would be totally cut off, so to speak, to use the old term. They were in some sort of a phantom zone, basically, where there was no contact possible in any way, shape, or form, so that they could not be remembered in any way at all. In fact, we see later on, we do not mention it. If you notice, later on it says, even when it just out of deference to the children of Korach, it mentions when we get to Parshat Pinchas, you know, it says, Vasher Asala Dasam Variram B'nei Eliyav. It gives the whole, it starts to put the blame on Dasam Vaviram and Korach as secondary. And what do I mean by that? We'll see in a minute over here, because what spurs Korach? Korach picks this time, because since they have been destined to die in the Midbar, he figures now, since everybody is now very distraught with Moshe, this is the time to challenge Moshe. And Vayikach Korach, the strange language that is used, doesn't say what he took, but he wanted to take. He took these 250 people, but more than that, initially, it's like when we go around and we ask for signatures on a petition, and he went around getting support from the people. But we have Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi v'dasam v'aviram b'nei Eliyav, and it says, Vayikohalu al Moshe v'Aaron. Why does it have to say it the second time, Vayikohalu al Moshe v'Aaron? Because initially, when they ganged up, Korach just took a straw poll of how many people would be his followers, and when enough people were willing to follow him, he, you know, backed him up. But they didn't do it. They just said, we'll back you. But in the meantime, after they saw that Korach actually was facing Moshe and telling him his complaints, the people came in a mob scene to witness, and his 250 followers, Vayikohalu al Moshe v'Aaron, they literally physically backed him up, not just with their, so to speak, signatures, but they actually came and they, Vayikohalu al Moshe v'Aaron, they gathered behind Aaron and Moshe. And this is where Moshe loses his cool, so to speak, Vayipol al Panav, and he realizes that he needs a change of attitude. Up to this point in time, he's always been praying, being their guide, their shepherd. And now he is now changing roles from a shepherd to a leader with a stern, with his rod, rather than a shepherd. He realizes that sometimes we have to rule with an iron fist and pray for the death of these people. And that's where the change of Moshe. And when I say sometimes we have to draw the line, it's also the end of the line, meaning Moshe basically at this point in time has lost the crowd. He has lost the team. And when you lose the team, you can't fire the team. You fire the leader. And this is where it's a done deal. Basically, Moshe, we'll see in next week's parsha, when he strikes the rock, God gives him a second chance. But his anger, when he says in next week's parsha, Shimun no hamorim, his anger has still been seething, because as Bnei Yisrael, we see, if ever we could see when God says to Bnei Yisrael at the Egel that they are Ampeshe Oref, that they are a stiff-necked people, imagine how the events take shape in this week's parsha, because even after the 250 people perish with the amazing sight of the ground opening up, which is a very interesting story because we know that this was one of the things that were created Erev Shabbos Simcha Shecha, the 10 things that God created was the Pi'aretz, the ground that would open up and swallow up Korach. How could that possibly be if the Korach had never done it? And this is why, as I mentioned in previous years, what we say every day in davening, when it says, HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tomid Maaseh B'Reishis, God knows the future, but nevertheless, since he has given us Bechira, he has given us freedom of choice, Korach could have done tshuva. It was still within his purview to do tshuva, and had he done it to ground, every day God would have said, well, they did tshuva, the ground no longer has to swallow them up, and there would not have been this earthquake, so to speak, to swallow them up. But getting back to the story here is, imagine, after all these people you would think are so shaken by the sight of all of these people being swallowed up, that they still are concerned. Korach had to be of such a mesmerizing character that he had such charisma that even after the ground swallows them all up, they still are backing Korach and his people and challenging Moshe with the appointment of Aaron, and he has to create this another miracle with the mate of Aaron to give the fruit of the almonds onto the stick. It's an amazing thought process, and still with all of that, they still rebel, and they still think that they're going to be able to withstand the power of God. And that's why we say, Madua Atem Ovrim Espi Hashem V'Hilo Sitzlach. When are we going to learn that when we defy the word of God, we will never, ever be successful? It's just an impossibility. God has an agenda, same as we think we have. The problem is that God has all the power, and we are enjoined to follow the Torah. And that's what God is trying to impart to us, and we just are very slow to learn. Unfortunately, we have to suffer greatly. And we see with us and Aviram, who are even worse, and they show their hand, because what is it? Hakina, Hakaiva, Vatavo, Hakovo, that we see in Pirkei Avos. These are the things, Motsian, Esa'odim, and Olam. What does that really mean? When we have that attitude, it literally destroys us. Korach had the kavod, and Dasam Vaviram wanted the money rather than the kavod, because Dasam Vaviram, who were Bechor, who we see that the children of Reuven, one of them was the Bechor, and initially they were given, they would have been the Kahuna, but after the Egel, when they got the Kahuna, they were, you know, they were Kohanim, and now they lost the Kahuna, but Moshe tried to placate them, and he says to them, but let's face it, you get a Yerusha now in the land of Eretz Yisrael. You're going to be able to have a big land grant in the land of Israel. But Dasam Vaviram say to Moshe right away, Af lo el Eretz Tavaz Kolov Duvosh Havio Sonu Vati Ten Lanu Nachalas Odeh Vochem. Very good. So you're making me a very rich man. I'm very pleased that I'm not a Kohen. Kohen doesn't have a Yerusha, but now, and a Levi doesn't have a Yerusha, but now I will be able to have my piece of land in Eretz Yisrael. But guess what? After the Maisa Meraglim, I've lost that capability. I will get all this money when I come into the land, but I am not coming into the land. I'm going to die in the Midbar, so I will never back down. We are truly an Am Kishei Oref after this. And all of these words lead to the death of 14,700 people. But what I focus on is Moshe over here, even at least at this time, he puts down, he prays to God, to Vahamagefa, and because of Moshe, Vahamagefa, Netzora, he is able to stop it from 14,000, from after 14,700 people. In other words, there were 15,000 dead people here because of Korach and Dasam Vaviram, and it's all very sad. But as I mentioned before, when it's Vayishma Moshe, Vayipol Al Panav, it causes the saddest thing is more than him falling on his face, it causes that change of attitude. If for him, instead of being the shepherd to lead us, he realizes that some people have to be winnowed out of the flock, and we have to pare down like the Marines. We want a few good men. And those of us who are going to go into Eretz Yisrael, those of us who are going to make the cut, are going to have to be only people who will do that. But of course, it never seems to end. We have one Torah after another, and we are sucked in because we are Am Kushei Oreb. And to what do we have to? We say that Aval Anachnu Vavosteinu is if we are still born in slavery, and the only people that could go into the land of Israel are people who are literally born free. Those only people are who were born in the Midbar. Those will be the only one. They did not know slavery, and the people who are born with a slave mentality can never get rid of it. We see it in our own cultures. There are people who are recidivism in prison is for one thing, that people who have served long sentences can't imagine how to make a decision for themselves once they get out. People who stay in the army for their whole career, of course, some of them are very patriotic, but a lot of the people who remain in the army for their life because they don't know how to deal with having the ability to make decisions for themselves and being responsible for their own future and to live in the land of Israel, to take hold of it, to conquer the land and make something of it, is the only way if you were born in freedom. And we see that, and that is the way life is, and God comes to that conclusion, and Moshe realizes it now, and he begins to, even as I said, pray for the death of some of these people, and that is the saddest part. And so Korach, he had all the money, he wanted the kavod. Dasan v'Aviron felt that they were going to get nothing whatsoever. And this is the change in status of Moshe. But the strange thing is over here, you would not believe that Korach, when Moshe told Korach, Usnu kahu lochem achtos, usnu vohem esh, v'simu aleihen ketores, didn't they realize what happened to Nadav and Avihu? When they put the ketores on, this is how blind we could sometimes be. We are being challenged and we don't understand what's going to happen. And what their rationale was, perhaps, was that each one thought that perhaps they would be able to say, if the fire would come down and take the karbonas, each one could say, it came down on my behalf, and it came down on my behalf. And that's why when we go further in Navi, we see when Eliyahu did the same thing with the Nevi'ei Habal, he said, you go first, I won't do it until afterwards, because he learned his lesson. He didn't know if he would have the same cachet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Moshe did, and so he said, you go first, I'll go after you, because this would be the thing. But in the meantime, Moshe knew that they would all perish, and they didn't understand that. I don't think they would have taken Moshe's challenge if he had said, you realize that when the fire comes down, you will all perish. And as a remembrance, we have to take their machtos, their fire pans, and vitzipui on to the Mizbeach to put all this metal around the Mizbeach. You would think that you would destroy it all, but this is as a symbol. We always need to look at things to realize we have the Shivrei Luchos in the Aron. God wanted that there for a remembrance that we could have had the original ones, but Moshe had to break it when it came down. We had the remnants of the Machtos that Korach and his people did. God leaves us these signs for us to remember them forever. So we don't have all these things nowadays. What we should have it, though, is remembering when we mava sedra every week, we remember it and we emblazon it in our mind. This is the chukim, are the things that are chiseled into our brain, and we see these things year after year. And that's what we see. So Dasan v'Aviram showed that it was all about not the covet anymore, but he was only interested in the money. But it didn't change their belief. And we see this even in Shabtai Tzvi, when in 1684 he accepted Christianity or Mohammedism, and he was killed. And the people, you would think at that time, they would have realized, certainly many people did realize, that he was a Navi Sheker, so to speak. Not so to speak, that he was truly a Navi Sheker, that he was a major phony. But believe it or not, into the early 1700s, there was still many, many followers who believed he would come back to life, because that's how stubborn they were. That's how they refused. There are none so blind as those that refuse to see. And Moshe is trying to make everybody open up your eyes, open up your ears, and see everything the way God is giving us. Don't we see the signs of things that are going on around us? May we have the vision to open our eyes to the things that are going on in the world, to make us follow that Madua Ovrim Es Pi Hashem V'Hi Lo Sitzlach. It will never be fruitful. Have a good evening.